Welcome to the CGMA Magazine podcast series, a service of the American Institute of CPAs and the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants. This series features discussions with Chartered Global Management Accountants and other experts about the topics, trends, and technologies that are transforming the accounting profession.
Welcome to the CGMA Magazine podcast series. I'm Editorial Director Jack Hagel. In this episode, Senior Editor Neil Amato speaks with Mark Byersmith. Mark is the President and Chief Operating Officer of Ariel Investment, a residential and commercial development company based in Nashville, Tennessee, and he's a CPA who holds the CGMA designation. Mark has had a wide-ranging career that includes being a partner in private equity firms and working in public accounting. He's also served as a CFO and as a CEO, and that's what he and Neil will discuss today. They'll talk about the evolving role of finance, and Mark offers perspective for CFOs considering a move to the CEO position. Here's Neil.
Mark, thanks for taking time to be part of the podcast today.
My pleasure.
We're going to talk today about moving from chief financial officer to chief executive officer. But before we talk about that move, let's discuss the CFO role on its own. How is it different today than, say, 10 or 20 years ago?
Well, the first thing is that I think the concept of a domestic CFO is certainly a smaller share of the market. I think it's very important that we all operate in a global marketplace and therefore need to be trained as an international CFO. The other thing is technology is playing a huge impact on our productivity, on our business, on our products. It speeds us up both in the life cycle curve of the product and in our productivity on a day-to-day basis. The other thing that's happening is that there's a lot of pressure to understand scaling of businesses. A lot of that has to do with the increased infusion of private equity capital. So the concept of maximizing your operating cash flow, better called OCF or EBITDA, plus the trying to reach the level where the multiplier against the OCF to create enterprise value grows at its optimal point for the sake of the PE holders. So I think those are the main differences.
So what is the CFO role of the future? What does that look like?
There's been a huge change, I think, in the last 24 months that I have seen, and I welcome the change because it's all beneficial to us. And that is, you see a lot of investor, PE firms especially, combining the CFO and the COO roles. I think that is very, very good news for our profession because it implies that we have to come up through the CFO ranks because I don't think you can do the opposite very well. And so it also builds our future because we get the operating exposure, the market exposure on top of our traditional exposure to finance.
So does this new role, this change in scope, does it lend itself more to becoming to moving up to become a CEO?
It does, because when you get your COO training and couple it with a CFO training, your market presence dramatically improves as to your value to the enterprise. I think that the one thing we have to be careful of is our skill sets. Not all of us are made to drive sales. We certainly are successful with numbers, or we wouldn't have reached the CFO level. The question is, can we jettison our skill set to also understand sales, marketing, production theory, organizational behavior theory, and all those other parts of the business?
Yeah, so that would be a whole new set of responsibilities, I guess. CFOs have plenty of responsibilities as it is. Is the CEO job any easier?
No, I think it's much harder. And it's much harder because of the stress that you go home with. You have vision creation responsibilities. You go home every night making sure that everybody's going in the right direction. It's no different than the coach of the football team who's making sure he has the right players on a team, make sure the playbook is going to be successful and win the game. So there's a lot more stress on the CEO, and the CFO doesn't have necessarily those stresses when they go home. They certainly have enough of their own, but it's different. You worry more about the employees who are working for you, The fact that your market cycles are shorter periods of time, and you worry about driving that rate of return to your investors. It's also a very lonely position at the CEO level, and that's why I encourage getting involved in organizations outside of the company, just so you have other people to talk to, where the CFO usually has the management team and management meetings. The CEO making decisions can be in a vacuum and often not popular.
A Deloitte survey about 18 months ago showed that most CFOs weren't sure they wanted the job. Should they want the job?
It depends. It depends. And what it depends on is whether you have the skill set, for instance. Everybody at the CEO level knows that a dollar worth of sales cures a lot of sins. And so you have to have the talent to be able to create that dollar worth of sales at the CEO level. If you don't, you know, if you do these, what's very vogue now is these personality tests that go on in companies. And those tests will help you analyze whether you can make that sale or not. You know, if you're all numbers, perhaps that's not your thing. But if you can walk in the room, meet the customer's needs, and create that sale, then I encourage you to capitalize on this opportunity.
If a CFO is interested in getting a CEO position in the future, what can that person do to make it happen?
First of all, I encourage them to take the COO, CFO type position. Those combined roles will help them gain the experience. I think they have to analyze their skill set. Are they a vision director? Are they a planner? I do think this is one place in business where the MBA does help, because the MBA stresses the other areas of business like marketing, organizational behavior, production theory. All those you will find as very helpful and come to maturity, if you will, after you've been educated on them, and play a vital role. I think you need to learn to be a good listener. I think you need to gain your international experience so that you can make sure that your shareholders have that opportunity. I think you need to be very good at managing people. You also have to be understanding of the utilitarianism theory, which states you have to do what's right for the team, not the individual. The ability to manage relationships in the workforce is very important. You have to know how to motivate those people. Tone, and just like in any relationship in life, is a very critical skill. You need to be able to manage that tone so it's a productive tone, not unproductive, in order to drive motivation. So relationships are a key part of the CEO job, and not all CFOs are good at that.
So you mentioned relationships. Does a CFO who wants to make that move up need to have a mentor, and what types of conversations should be had between the mentor and the mentee?
The mentor is very critical, I think, to any position in which you are going into, because it offers the opportunity of having the experience ahead of you and advised. You can seek that advice rather than OJT it and make mistakes. That mentor can be on the board, mentors in that case, or it can be somebody in professional life, or it can be some CEO organizations throughout the world.
So let's say a CFO gets that CEO job. What are some of the initial struggles that he or she will face?
They first have to understand that products now and companies, if you picture a bell curve, have shorter cycles to them. So speed becomes very important, and vision is very important as to what the next cycle is going to be, so your company has longevity. I think that's the biggest thing. The other thing that I think it's important for the CEO to be able to do these days is to seek advice down as well as up. And what I mean by that is age. One of the critical things in my life every day is making sure I seek the advice of younger professionals who are more technologically proficient and can solve a problem quickly. And if I need wisdom, I might choose to go to someone more mature to get that wisdom due to their experience.
What are some other things, and then maybe what are some things not to do?
Okay, let's start with the things that would be helpful. A CFO is very well trained in the importance of operating and internal controls. Those skill sets will play a critical role in their success at the CEO level. The difference is they won't have to convince people they're important. He or she will already know that they're important, so the hurdle to get them those control devices implemented is lower, which will help control the business and stand to make it more successful, which is one of the reasons why the PE people are combining those roles. I think they also have to be very good listeners, because the answer is there usually in your people. They have to stay very focused, and I encourage people to understand the Rockefeller habits when they take these roles, which keep you focused and teach you how to do that despite all the other things on your plate every day. And finally, you're going to need sales training if you've not done it, because one of the key critical factors there in your success is sales. And the best salespeople know that it's listening to your customers' needs that make that success probability higher at the point of sale.
So you mentioned the Rockefeller habits. Can you tell me a little more about that?
Yes, the Rockefeller habits are a set of rules that was written several years ago. What they did is they studied companies that scale up at huge percentages. And they looked at those companies and they said, what did those companies have in common? And then they developed the Rockefeller habits. And encapsulated within those habits is the concept of staying focused.
So you've held both the CEO and CFO position in your career. Do you prefer one over the other?
I prefer winning. And winning means I transfer my skills where the point of weakness is in the person who carries that other role. What it's allowed me to do is to have versatility within the C-suite, and it works very well for my shareholders and very well for myself, because it not only gives them versatility in the C-suite, but it also gives them bench strength. It also allows the C-suite to understand each other, because having been in those roles, we understand the decision-making thought that goes behind their decisions. So understanding is enhanced, which means relationships are better.
Well, Mark, this has been excellent. Thank you so much for taking time to talk today.
My pleasure, sir.
Thanks for joining us today. For more content on finance leadership and the evolving role of the finance profession, please visit cgmamagazine.org. This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered, and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA, its affiliates, and subsidiaries are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA, its subsidiaries, and affiliates make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and expressly disclaim all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.